Please turn with me to Acts chapter 20 and verses 13 to 31. Mena is going to read it for us, but before she does that, let me say a short prayer. Loving Father, as we open the Bible and continue to think about church leadership, please help us to hear and understand what you have to say to us and to act on it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Assos, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. When he met us at Assos, we took him aboard and went on to Mytilene. The next day, we set sail from there and arrived off Chios. The day after that, we crossed over to Samos, and on the following day, arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of the Pentecost. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task of the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Mena, for reading for us. Please do keep the passage open in front of you. Over the last 2 weeks, we've been thinking together about leadership in the church. If you're visiting with us today, you're just coming in on the end of this short sermon series in which we've been thinking about leadership. And it's important to know what good leadership looks like. We need to know what we should expect of those in leadership. Here at Emmanuel, Now, we need to know what kind of leadership we should follow. So over the last 2 weeks, we've thought about the purpose of leadership and the nature of leadership. And this week, we're looking at what the Bible says about the responsibilities of leadership. And the passage we're looking at describes an emotional meeting between the Apostle Paul and the leaders of the church in Ephesus. Let me begin by sketching out the background. Paul's traveling to Jerusalem. He's bringing a collection from the Gentile churches for the Christians in Jerusalem. And he wants to deliver it to them in time for the festival of Pentecost. So not wanting to be delayed, but wanting to say farewell to the elders of the church in Ephesus, he summons them to meet him in Miletus. Once there, he delivers a final charge to them about caring for the flock. And as he prepares to continue on his way to Jerusalem, he tells them that this will be the last time he sees them. What strikes me is how this passage ends. Paul is often portrayed as a kind of stern, cold, harsh man. But look at verse 36. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. That paints a very different picture of Paul, doesn't it? The Ephesian elders were moved to tears by the thought that they would never see him again. That's how much they loved him. So let's see then what he says before he goes. He gives them very clear instructions about their responsibilities as leaders. He tells them to keep watch. And firstly, he says, keep watch over yourselves. It's there in verse 28. Do you see it? Keep watch over yourselves. He says something similar in his letter to Timothy, his friend and co-worker. He says, watch your life and doctrine closely. So this is the first responsibility of those in leadership. We touched on it a little bit last week. Christian leaders cannot care for others if they don't look after themselves. They cannot help others to walk closely with the Lord if they're not walking closely with the Lord themselves. Now, that's why we encourage all in leadership roles in the church regularly to spend time with the Lord in private, reading the Bible and praying. Now, our relationship with the Lord only grows as we spend time with him. And we want all in leadership to have a relationship with the Lord that is growing and flourishing. And that's good for us all. A healthy church has healthy leaders. We want all our leaders to be going on well with the Lord. And that's also why we ask everyone in leadership to attend a home group. It's in home groups that we learn and grow with others and enjoy the mutual support and encouragement that being part of a home group provides. We want our leaders to have that support and encouragement. And keeping watch over ourselves is vital for those in leadership because it's what enables us to keep watch over the flock, our second heading. That's what Paul says next in verse 28. Please look down at it again. Keep watch over yourselves, he says, and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And then he says, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. The flock is precious to God, bought through the saving work of his Son at the cross. And the reason the Ephesian elders must keep watch is that false teachers will come among them like savage wolves and devour the flock. They would even arise from their own number. Look at verse 29. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears. Well, these wolves are not interested in caring for the flock, but only in serving themselves. They distort the truth in order to gain popularity and advance their own agendas. So be on guard, Paul says. Keep watch. And the question we must ask is how? How are leaders to keep watch over the flock? Well, they're to do what Paul had done. As he says farewell, he wants the Ephesian elders to remember his example. He's made a point of reminding them how he had conducted himself while he was with them. And first, he had taught them. That's the first thing that leaders must do if they're to be shepherds. If you were with us last week, you may remember that this is what Jesus did. He saw that the people around him were like sheep without a shepherd. So he taught them. So the first thing that leaders must do is to teach. See how Paul reminds the Ephesian elders that this is what he had done in verse 20. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And in verse 26, he declares that he had carried out his responsibility fully. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Paul had taught the whole will of God. He had taught all that God has revealed about his plan for the world. So those of us in leadership at Emmanuel are not at liberty to teach only our favourite bits of the Bible, the bits we like. We have a responsibility to pass on all that God has revealed. Now, the bits we find challenging, as well as the bits we enjoy. Now, the commands, as well as the promises. We must teach all that God says, for example, about righteousness and godly living on the one hand, and sin on the other hand, about salvation and about judgment, about heaven and about hell. And that's why we normally work through whole books or large sections of books in our sermon series and in Sunday club and youth Bible study. That stops us from jumping around and skipping the difficult bits or focusing just on our favourite bits. Everything that God says to us in the Bible is for our good, if only we will listen to him. And leaders care for the church by passing on all that he has said, fully and faithfully. Notice that Paul says he taught both publicly and from house to house. Now, he used different methods of teaching. And that's what we seek to do here. In our various ministries, we teach the Bible through our Sunday services, as well as in small groups, home groups, and one-to-one. And Paul taught both Jews and Greeks, by which he means all non-Jews. In other words, he taught everyone. No one was excluded. All were welcome. And that's the responsibility we share as leaders in the church, to teach all that God has revealed in different ways to everyone. That's how we keep watch over the flock. So, Paul taught the Ephesians. But second, he reminded the Ephesian elders that he had warned them. And he urged them to be on their guard. He wants them to protect the flock. See, that's what shepherds do. They protect. And the flock needed protecting. Look at verse 29 again. We've already read it, but let's look at it again. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. Shepherds protect the flock. Do you remember? That's what David did when Goliath had been defying the Israelites and challenging them to send someone out to fight him. David said he would go. Saul, who was king at the time, couldn't quite believe his eyes. You can't go, he said. You're just a boy. Goliath has been training as a warrior his whole life. I can't send you. What did David say? He said, I may be a boy, but I'm a shepherd. I look after my father's sheep. I've killed lions and bears to protect the flock. Now, this Philistine will be like one of them. See, shepherds do more than just lead the sheep to pasture. They protect them from danger. David had fought lions and bears to protect his father's flock. And when Paul says, be shepherds, that's what he means. Protect the flock. So he says in verse 31, be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears. Leaders can't just ignore false teaching and false ideas. The danger they posed moved Paul to tears, because they have the power to destroy people by drawing them away from Christ. He warned the Ephesians night and day, or I presume it's part of what he did when he taught publicly and from house to house. It's what parents do for their children. Now, they provide for them as they grow, and they do their best to protect them from danger. It's what Lenford and Danielle seek to do as Christian parents. Having just brought Kayla for baptism, they've undertaken to teach her about the Lord as she grows up, and they will do their best to protect all their children from wrong ideas that will do them harm. And it's what leaders must do in the church. It's part of what we're to do as home group leaders and Sunday club leaders and so on. We who are leaders must warn people to be discerning about what they read or listen to. Even if it claims to be Christian, perhaps especially if it claims to be Christian. Now, we do them a great service by pointing them to booksellers, for example, who are known for taking God's truth seriously, such as Ten of Those and the Good Book Company. Likewise, by pointing them to podcasts that seek to be faithful to God's word, such as those put out by Faith in Kids and Speak Life. It's the same when it comes to listening to Christian music and so on. If someone has come across something that doesn't sound right, we should be willing to take time to open the Bible with them and check it out. See, this is how leaders keep watch over the flock. And these are the leaders we need. Leaders who keep watch over themselves, who teach truth, and guard against error. Now, if we step back for a moment and widen this out, the first thing we can say is that these are the leaders we need over us in the national church. These are the bishops we need. When bishops are consecrated, that is precisely what they promise to do. They're asked this: will you be diligent in prayer, in reading Holy Scripture, and in all studies that will deepen your faith and fit you to bear witness to the truth of the gospel? And they answer, by the help of God, I will. And then they're asked, will you teach the doctrine of Christ as the Church of England has received it? Will you refute error? And will you hand on entire the faith that is entrusted to you? Answer, by the help of God, I will. That's all good, isn't it? We might be tempted to despair when we think about the things we hear from many of our bishops at the moment. We do need to pray for them, that they would remember the vows they've made and remain faithful to them. But it's not just good bishops we need. We also need clergy like this in our churches. Now, when I was ordained, I made similar vows. I was asked, will you be diligent in prayer, in reading Holy Scripture, and in all studies that will deepen your faith and fit you to bear witness to the truth of the gospel? And I answered, by the help of God, I will. I was asked, will you faithfully minister the doctrine and sacraments of Christ as the Church of England has received them, so that the people committed to your charge may be defended against error and flourish in the faith? And I answered, by the help of God, I will. So please pray for me too, that I would remember the vows I made and never forget them. But finally, it's not only good bishops and good clergy we need. We need leaders like this in every area of ministry here at Emmanuel, from children's work to seniors' work, from one-to-one ministry to home groups. Now, I may not ask people to stand up and make vows when they take on leadership roles at Emmanuel. But all of us in leadership need to show that same commitment to being the leaders that God wants us to be, watching over ourselves, teaching truth, and guarding against error. Now, please pray for those who serve in this way at Emmanuel, that God would help them to do those things. And if you're in leadership or considering serving in this way in the future, and this all seems a bit daunting to you, as I said last week and the week before, please do consider coming along to the Saturday morning Bible training course that's going to start in September. It would be a great way to be equipped for this role. So why is this all so important? Why have we just spent 3 weeks focusing on church leadership? Well, as we end, let me just remind us of the purpose of leadership, which is what we began with. God raises up leaders in the church so that we might all be equipped to serve one another using the gifts God has given us. Leaders help us all to play our part in the life of the church. And the aim is that we might be a church that is united, mature, and stable, that brings glory to God. And that's what we want to be, a church that brings glory to God. And that's how we fulfill the great commission that Jesus has given us. Our heartbeat as a church is to reveal God's glory to the world. We want others to see how good it is to live as his people and want to know him themselves. And our hope is that in God's strength, we might make disciples of all nations, as Jesus has told us to, teaching them to obey everything he has commanded. And we need leaders who will help us to do that. So with that in mind, let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for all who serve in leadership here at Emmanuel. Thank you for the gifts you have given them. And thank you for the care they take of our church family. Please help them to keep close watch over themselves and over your people. As they faithfully teach your word, please equip us all to serve one another with the gifts you have given us. Help us to be the church that you want us to be. A church that reveals your glory to the world and helps others to know Jesus as their Saviour and King. And we ask it in his name. Amen.